So welcome, welcome again to the Bodhichaya Avatara, stanza number 43 of the 8th chapter. Now there are many stanzas on the same thing, you know, that we are so much attached to the flesh. Beauty and attachment to the sexual attachment. And one of the methods for kind of lessening our attachment of this kind, lustful attachment, is recommended, you know, what is called as to see the negative side or the uncleanliness of it, what we call midupa, you know, ugliness or the undesirability of the object of that lust. Maybe it works for some people. For lots of people, I'm told it doesn't really work. But anyway, it doesn't matter. There are many stanzas. So I wouldn't go too slowly on this, because I think this is something that nothing not to understand, actually, intellectually. So I will more or less go through it by reading, because I have explained enough about all these things. But one thing is very important, you know, that the beauty is also something that we create in ourselves, in our mind. There's a kind of a joke that they said that when we fall in love with another person, whether it's a male or female, the joke is that we always fall in love either in the moonlight or candlelight. And why it's like that? Because we cannot see properly, we cannot see too clearly, so therefore, you know, we can only see what we want to see, imagine, so then we make it very beautiful and very very much better than how actually it is. So this is in a way, you know, like that. The beauty is also made in our mind, you know, and therefore we lust for it. And many times what you see very desirable, if you look a little bit deeply, there's nothing like that on the object of it, but you know, it's what we created like that. So stanza number 43, there's many like this, so I will go through it more quickly. What pains you went to just to lift her face. What pains you went to just to lift her face that modestly looked down, which looked upon or not before, was always with a veil concealed. You know, this is Indian style, you know, when you get married, before you get married, you can never see the face of your wife. Only after you get married, then you can lift the veil and see the face. That face for which you languished so, you know, well, here it is now, nakedly exposed. Now he's talking about the dead body. The vultures have uncovered it for you to see. What is this? You run away so soon, because when you see a dead body, you don't want to look at it. You are afraid of it, you want to run away from it. That once you jealously protected, shielded from the eyes of other men, why, miser that you are, don't you protect it? Now that is the food of graveyard birds. You know, people are very jealous sometimes, and they, you know, if somebody looks at their husband or their wife, you know, or their girlfriend or boyfriend, they get so jealous. So now this is talking about that. Look, this mass of human flesh is now the fare of carrion beasts, and you would deck with garlands, sandalwood, and jewels, the food and provender of others. Look again, this heap of bones, inert and dead. Why, what are you so scared of? Why did you not fear it when it walked around, just like a risen corpse propelled by some strange influence? You loved it once when clothed and draped it was, well, now it's naked. Why do you not want it? Ah, you say, your need is no more there. But why did you embrace it, all bedecked and covered? From food a single source come equally, the body's filth and nectar of the mouth. So why are you delighted by saliva and yet repelled by excrement? Taking no delight in pillows made of cotton soft touch, you claim the human form emits so no stench. Befooled by lust, its filth you do not recognize. Lustful one, be fuddled by desire, because you cannot copulate with it, you angrily find fault with cotton, soft though it may be to touch. And if you have no love for filth, how can you cuddle on your lap a cage of bones tied fast with sinews, plastered over with the mud of flesh? In fact, you are full of filth yourself. You wallow in it constantly. It is indeed just filth that you desire and therefore long for other sects of it. So, you know, so this is not only talking about other people's bodies, but also your own. You know, when you are too much attached to your own body, and then you also a little bit look and see, you know, your body is also a source of lots of filth, lots of dirt, lots of, you know, unclean and, you know, undesirable things. So therefore, and it is only for a short time that you have. So there is no need or no use to be too much attached either to your own body or to somebody's body as well. But it's the skin and flesh I love to touch and look upon. Then why do you not wish for flesh alone, inanimate and in its natural state? The mind that you are perhaps desire, you cannot hold or look upon. If you say that, no, because you know what I love is not just the flesh and the body, but the mind. The mind that you perhaps desire, you cannot hold or look upon. You cannot see the mind. There's whatever you can hold or see is not the mind. Why copulate with something it's not? To fail to grasp the unclean nature of another's flesh is not perhaps so strange, but not to see the filthy nature of oneself is very strange indeed. You know, it's saying that, you know, if you don't see the uncleanliness and, you know, kind of undesirable things, dirty things that other people, other people's bodies are made of, if you don't see it, that's possible. But not to see your own body like that is something strange. Why does the mind intent on filthiness neglect the fresh young lotus blossom, opened in the sunlight of a cloudless sky, to take joy rather in the sake of dirt? And since you are disinclined to touch a place or object grimed with excrement. Why do you wish to touch the body whence such excrement has come? And if you have no craving for impurity, why will you now embrace and kiss what comes from such an unclean place, engendered likewise from an unclean seed? The tiny fetid worms that come from filth, you have no love of them. And yet you are lusting for a human form from filth arisen and replete with it. Toward your own impurity, disgust you do not feel, and yearning and athirst for filth, you long for other sex of it. Pleasant substances like camphor, rice, fresh green herbs, put them in your mouth and spit them out. The earth itself is fouled thereby. Saying that if you are not convinced, then you do that. If still you doubt such filthiness, though it is very plain for all to see, go off into the charnel grounds, observe the fetid bodies there abandoned. When their skins are peeled away, you feel great horror and revulsion. Now that you have understood, how can you still take joy in such a thing? The scent that now perfumes the skin is sandalwood and nothing else. Yet how is it that one thing's fragrance causes you to long for something else? Is it not best to have no lust for something that by nature stinks? The worldly crave beside their purpose. Why do they anoint their flesh with pleasant scents? For if this scent is sandalwood, how can it be the perfume of the body? How is it that the fragrance of a thing induces you to crave for something else? With lanky hair, with long nails overgrown, with dirty teeth, all reeking with the stink of slime, this body naked as it is, untended, is indeed a horror to behold. Why do go to such excess to clean and polish what is but a weapon that will injure you? The cares that people squander on themselves in ignorance convulse the universe with madness. When you saw the heap of human bones, you felt revulsion in the charnel ground. And will you take delight in cities of dead, frequented by such skeletons that live and move? What is more, possession of another's field is not to be acquired free of charge. All is at a price, exhaustion in this life, in the next, the suffering of hell. So this is, you know, what you get or what you desire, what you lust for, is also not something that you get free or you get without making lots of sacrifices and lots of efforts and lots of, and you do lots of negative deeds and all kind of harm others and, you know, all kind of negative emotions and all kind of anxiety and worries and things like that. So therefore, you know, it is to try to understand and see that, you know, that kind of lust is, you know, I don't know if this kind of reflection could make our too much lust a little bit less, so that, you know, we can live a little bit more balanced way and our mind becomes a little bit less out of control in attachment and lust and things like that. This is 71 stanza. So I'll read the Tibetan. Kangyi tongpo mbe te te, chanchongo tsuyo utu te, ngay nung tonga mantongyo, kujidong no yopar, chanyo mongpe tongte na, tata ngusum charwa yin, shankwe jisar shintong ne, tata chishan jebar si. Yena mi ke tanayo, gongshi yongsu sun charwa, jisi tenne, ti sana, sena jenju ji msung, hyayu pongpo ndon tongne, shankwe tongyen, sasena, yenji sena, meto,
ken tewa tsen ten jenji chu. Rungo nyo ton tongni na mga yon na chu tong na, rungo nga nga yi chu shubar chana ji min ji, kong la yu chun di cha pa dema yon na ji min du, tela gui pa mena na, yu pa la na chu shir chu. Sini chibu nyi lini, hiong du kan chu chir chana, teni hiong la mga yi, kasi la chu chu shir ga. Himba re nan jamba yin hila gawa mi chepa, tangan zapa ma yin hi dede mu zong wa la mu,
对对，俺把木板那新把人那讲不牢，伢不是下完门那些带了着我到的些，该怎么做巧面呢？如今就别这样了，下一段给下下些，研究知识不能去，去年木做木有吧？第二来句，但学习木做，这把引导了我们做高明对不是？当你现在来个些，这都打完对那个，谁没把有容易的下的去过进门的？对比生活也没得，这都打完门了。 我一女的喜欢对面去的继续下，某种人研究了某种文字没写的，容易某种人也把多方面的文字写。真正你在这些方面不满意的，某种先比先进的，某种在那继续干。啥说某种机构把搞点来不满意的，那工人在那上网议论了这这这这人的，搞点某种巧妙的某种心理上就进，这一上面这些吧。
研究知识不能去，某种理想、某种神，全部全对没解了。某种目标容易了，某种细胞对不起。全对人就，某种容易，某种难，慢慢写不满解去。某种讲法，某种难，刚毕业就对不起。搞不拉说用动连钱，大跟催忙中，开始学生不容易，善用某种做不起。搞得某种能量啊，硬是解决太早了，都是多都不为了某种应用对不起。
公里包皮卡些呢，就把全部现金了，现金，这点天天了，现金给我写完去了。六里桂皮这点用，真的属于也蛮用，研究这点研究了，接下来就不是，搞点容易挣啊，那了嘛叫来嘛呢？一点对面三把刀，接点对了，这些个，反正这些真的那六年的那这些就研究这里研究了，接下来就不是。搞点这些人往都说啥子？
所以说，直接进他们就去，隔壁六级人员呢，基本一般人员，让来那边村里的，特别就是许多些。到了我们明白有那边站的更多，让我们把心痛的都在那研究，有时候家必须装个这这，来干。第二，我从这点用人脉办的门面多，第二这边下动都两万来岁那边人就是。So this is up to 71, stanza number 71. So I don't want to spend too much time on this because most of the people would not like to. I think it's quite plain and understandable, and if you if it helps, you can reflect on it. If it doesn't help, you don't need to reflect on it. You don't need to be angry or upset or anything. It's not criticizing anybody, any kind of group of people or any gender or anything like that. It's just explaining to see, try to see in the facts and why it is most of our, it's the same thing, you know, what we are, we desire so much, what we are so much attached to is also created by our mind, you know, also helped by our culture, by the kind of
outlook by the most of the people and things like that. And the same way, what we hate and what dislike most is also very much created by our, you know, attitude and by our culture and by the way we look at it and things like that. So this is something I think we need to understand and reflect on. So I stop here. Thank you very much.